tonight, I just really been praying, you know, Lord, what do you want me to speak about tonight? And so we were in Philippians this morning in chapter 2, but I want to look at chapter 1 tonight. We're going to go through chapter 1 a little bit tonight, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time tonight, but I want to give an opportunity for us to think about some things. And as we talked about this morning, this is not really a continuation of this morning, but in a way it kind of goes along with it because it's out of the same book. And Paul, Philippians church, man, I'll tell you what, they were a pretty good church. I mean, you read about what Paul is talking about. He's talking to some people that are motivated. And even though Paul's in chains, and even though he's going through all these things and he's not with them, he's like, man, I am so happy you guys are doing this stuff even though I'm not with you. So I want you to hear what he says. Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began, now listen to this, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. I want to stop right there for just a second. I want to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for your word. Lord, speak through me tonight. Let every word that comes out of my mouth be inspired by you. Lord, I praise you and I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. He says right here, he says that he who began a good work in you carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you. I love that because when I got saved, Jesus started to do a good work in me. He started. You know, I wasn't perfect. It took work. He said, I'm going to do a good work in you. But he's also going to do a good work through me. You understand? God wants to work through you. And this kind of it goes along with this morning a little bit because he's got when you get saved, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life, he wants you to do something for him. So he works, he comes inside of you and then he works through you. He wants to do a good work in you and make you the person that he wants you to be. Okay? But I also look at this in another way. You know, in 1936, on a Tuesday night, there was a prayer meeting held in this town. And that's when the First Church of the Nazarene had their first prayer meeting over in, you know, in this community in 1936. And that good work started, right, by people who had came from other churches. And when you read about it, when you know a little bit about what happened, people from other churches come here in this community to start this church. And they used their money and their time, but they did a good work in this community. They worked hard to try to establish a church. Now, I've been part of a planning church. I was on the planning team in the district team, the district planning team of church plants. But, you know, it's not an easy task to plan a church. It's not easy at all. It's a lot of work. You got to work hard. I mean, and it takes a lot of time to plan a church. But it also takes confidence. And that's what Paul says right here. He says, first until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. Now, I want you to understand what I'm trying to say tonight. That first church of the Nazarene that was established here started a good work. And then in 1966, what happened? In September, I think it was September or March 28th, it was their dedication service here. They had built this church. So in 30 years, from 1936 to 1966, they went from the little church over there to this church here. That good work that they've been doing, look what they accomplished. Now, they didn't do it in 3 years, did they? They didn't do it in 5 years. They didn't do it in 10 years. It took them 30 years to get to here, right? Now, from 1966 to 2018, almost 19, we could say, where have we come? What have we done in this church? Now, I'm not being negative, don't get me wrong. But think of the history there. How many years has that been? 53 years? My math is right. Am I right? 53 years? 66 to 2019? 53 years. This church has moved and moved and moved and been going on, right? People have done some good work in this church. So is that good work that was started back in 1936 continues on today, right? We have a good work. So the people in this church have a purpose, just like I talked about this morning. We have a purpose. We have a good work that's been established. So we need to continue that good work. Does that make sense to you? You understand what I'm saying? But God wants to do good work in you every day. God wants that. And that's what Paul is saying. The good work. Remember that. Remember the good work that God wants to do. And that's what I'm saying. And have confidence in that. So many people walk around with, they don't have any confidence. You know, they claim to be Christians and they claim to serve the Lord, but they have no confidence in what the Lord can do. It's easy to lose your confidence that way. I mean, it is. I mean, we go through things in life, but situations in our life should not affect the confidence that we have in our Lord and Savior. But it tends to do that. And so my encouragement tonight is remember the good work that God wants to do in you. Remember that. Because you know what? Some of us wasn't always nice people, right? Some of us have a lot to be forgiven. Some of us have a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful for the good work that Christ is doing in my life. And I can stand with the confidence knowing that God is doing it. God is doing this. You know, and I love what he's encouraging this church. He said he will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. You know, we want this church to go on, right? We want this church to carry on to completion till the Lord comes. And that means I may not be here. It may be somebody else here as we move on. You know, there's been many people. You know, the people that were here in 1936 aren't here anymore. But their good work carries on. And their good work carries on because of Christ, the good work that was working in their lives. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? See, when Christ, he wants to do a good work in you, so he inspires you to do a good work. And so that's what we do, right, as a church. We do these things, right? He says, is it right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart? And whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. I want to stop right there. He says, if I'm in chains or defending the gospel. See, in his time, he had to stand up and defend the gospel because there were places people didn't want to hear it. I've been in places like that now. There's some people you talk to, they don't want to hear it. They just flat do not want to hear about Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I'm going to keep doing it, you know. That's Paul. Sharing God's grace with me. He's talking to the church. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in depth and in insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and what may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. God wants us to learn in knowledge. He wants us to abound. I like that word. He wants us to abound in love. More and more in knowledge and in depth and in insight. What's insight? What's insight? That is kind of a question. I could be a rhetorical question. But some people lack insight, don't they? Man, I want that. I need that in my life because, you know, I make mistakes too much. But to know that we have a God that will give you insight, to give you knowledge, to discern these things. What's he talking about? Discerning things spiritually, right? So that we may be blameless for the day of Jesus, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, the glory and the praise of God. I love this. I love this reading. I really do. And this is more of a Bible study, I guess, more so than preaching. But I don't know. I felt compelled to read this to you tonight because I'm trying to encourage you to understand that God wants to do a good work in you and through you. And that's how not only this church started, but that's how many, 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 many churches started. But it seems like, you know, when you look at statistics and when you look at all these things with church growth and all that, churches do this. They first start out right here and they go like this. They run uphill and then they plane off. And it seems like, now just think about this. Think about this church in general. In many other churches, this church run up, and then it got to a place right here, and then it leveled off. And then it stayed this way for a long period of time. And I'm not saying it was unhealthy, I'm just saying it stayed this way for a long period of time. And this is where we've been. And then it starts to decline. And in you know, when you look at statistics in the Methodist church, even in this district, we've lost a lot of churches in this district. Why? Because they've just kind of laid off a little bit. And I can't tell you why. I can't blame somebody. I can't say that it was this or this or this or whatever. That's not what I'm wanting to do. But I'm wanting to encourage you because the good work that was started with people who were excited and compelled and confident that Jesus was doing this good work in them and they were going to do this good work for him. And that's why the churches were growing. And when a church gets relaxed and starts planing off, then we get used to it. We get used to it. And we can't do that. And that's what I was talking about this morning. You know, we have a goal in mind. We have heaven in mind, and we had a press towards the mark. What's that mean? Paul said we got to run the race. He didn't say walk the race. He didn't say, you know, sit in a pew the whole race and wait to the end. He said run the race. With what? What did he say? Run the race with what? Huh? Patient confidence also, right? He run the race to win the prize is what we got to do. I don't want to get off of what I'm talking about here tonight. He says, now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do so out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerity, supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. Really? I mean, Paul had all these problems, but where was his confidence at? He was still encouraging the church. He was saying, you guys are doing a good work, and let's remember the good work that you're doing, and let's just keep doing it. And it's been increasing, even though I'm in chains for what I'm in chains for. Let's keep going. Let's do it. I'm in chains for Christ. And because of my chains, most of my brothers and sisters have become confident. That's what he says right here. You know, there's a lot of stuff going on today. And, you know, people preach things that are relaxed. People, you know, we have churches that pop up and they have these different beliefs and they think different ways and everybody's going to heaven and all this kind of stuff. And we see all this stuff. And I think there was a lot, that's what Paul maybe was talking about here, that there was a lot of that stuff going on because it was out of selfish ambition. We have a lot of mega churches with a lot of mega pastors that make a mega salary, you know, things like that. And you think that maybe that's just out of selfish ambition. But, you know, as long as Christ is being preached, as long as his name's being lifted up, they're the ones that has to stand for judgment of that at the end. We can't judge them for that. But I don't know what my, you know, I want to go, there was one spot right here I wanted to read. Right here in verse 18. He says, but what does it matter? That's what I was getting at with what I just said. The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached. And because of this, I rejoice. Paul says it doesn't matter what they do. As long as Christ is being preached, you know, they're the ones that's going to have to worry about what the judgment is. I mean, that's their problem. But as long as Christ is being preached, that's what's most important. And he said, yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and God's provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or death, for to me to live in Christ and to die is gain. If I am to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is better far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Jesus Christ will abound on the account of me. Paul says, you know, I'd rather be in heaven. I'd rather just go to heaven right now. I would rather not be in chains. I would rather not be here dealing with all this stuff. I'd rather be in heaven, but it's probably beneficial for me to be here with you guys. That's what's that's what's important now. In the early church of Acts, it talks about that the saints gathered together for the reading of the scripture to learn. And I think this is so important that we do this, and that's why I'm doing this tonight. That's why I'm reading the scripture. That's why I'm telling you what Paul was talking about here. Because sometimes I think we can get caught up in, and I feel this way sometimes, as I feel like I've got to entertain people, or I have to do stuff a certain way, or I have to preach a certain way. You follow what I'm getting at? When in all reality, the Scripture is what's most important to be learned. And if we can read the Scripture for what it says and learn it and understand it in that, then we take it and we use it to do that good work that's been started in our lives, that good work that wants to be established in us, that He has established in you on the day that you accepted Him into your life. Does that make sense to you tonight? Do you understand what I'm saying to you tonight? Because God wants this from, He desires this from His church. He's given, He's got jobs for us to do. He's got work for us to do. And see, Paul is a perfect example of that. Paul, he said, you know, it's better for me to stay here. I know it's going to be hard work. You know, I'm probably going to get beat up again. I'm probably going to be in prison here in chains. Because I'm going to stand up and I'm going to preach Christ no matter what. And I'm in prison now because of Christ. And now this whole place knows it. The whole palace knows that I'm here. And the only reason I'm here is because I preach Christ. And wherever Paul was, most of the time he had somebody. And he had already brought that family to Christ. Even some of the guards that watched him. You know, he established those things in people's lives. I mean, he was always preaching. He was always witnessing. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. What am I trying to say? I want you guys to be encouraged to let God do that good work in your life. Just like He encouraged the ones who started this church in 1936. Let us continue on until we're gone out of this world and in heaven. And oh, and maybe Jesus comes tomorrow. I don't know. We don't know that, do we? We don't know when He's going to come back. He may. But I want to tell you, we got to keep focusing on that mark ahead. We got to keep focusing on heaven. We got to keep focusing on witnessing to people and getting as many people saved as we can. And that's our main focus. That's our purpose. That's the work that we're supposed to do. And I'm not discouraging, I'm not taking away anything that's been done, okay? Don't take me the wrong way. Because there's been some great things happen in this church. There's been some great things that's happened in the past in this church. This church has done great things in this community at times. But this church right now, you guys right now can do great things in this community right now. If you just do the work that's been established in you through Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul's saying to that church in Philippi. You know, remember that good work that Christ is doing in you. Remember that. Remember what He's done for you and what He's doing for you. And that good work is every day. It doesn't stop. That good work doesn't stop until you walk into heaven. And that's where we lose it sometimes. We think, okay, we're good enough, or we got enough, or we done enough. We never do enough. We can never do enough. We can never work enough. None of us can. But we just got to continue. We just got to continue to do it. That's what He wants us to do. That's what He wants His church to do. I hope you understand that. I don't. That's what God had on my heart tonight to bring to you. That's my lesson for the night. But. You know, right now, I just feel like, I just really feel like that God is going to do something awesome for this church. I think He really is. I think God is going to do something, just something spectacular. I don't know, that's my feelings. And it's not me. It's not about me. And I mean that. It's not about what I've said or what I'm doing. It's about the attitude that I feel from you guys. I feel this confidence in you guys. I feel this attitude in you guys that you desire that same thing. You're desiring this church to do something just spectacular. But it's God that's going to do it through us. You understand what I'm saying now? Through what He just said right there in the Word. Right there. That good work that was established in you. God is going to work through us and do something spectacular. And I'm expecting it. I really am expecting it. And that's my desire. And I hope that, and I feel that from you guys. I hope that I'm right about this. You know, I want to be so right about everything. Unfortunately, I'm a human, so I'm not right about everything other than my last name. I've been right all my life. And that was given to me. I didn't even earn it. But I'm telling you, If we just stay focused on the cross and we stay focused on the race ahead of us, man, God will do good things. Because that's what God does. That's what He does. He does good things. The problem is we get in the way sometimes. And we just got to get out of the way and just, I mean, I'm talking about not us physically, but I'm talking about ourselves. Just get out of the way and let God do that work within us.